Last week, we looked at a series of messages on church members at Christ's second coming. Church members. And please take your Bible and turn. We're going to be in Revelation 2 and 3. Turn to chapter 3 right now of Revelation. Revelation, chapter 3. Now, critics of my teaching on the rapture, and those like me that teach a post-tribulation and pre-wrath view of the second coming, they have the church age ending before the final 7 years begin. And what they say is you don't see the church after chapter 3 of Revelation. Then in chapter 4, they take the Apostle John who went to heaven as the rapture. Well, that is not the rapture. Bringing one man to heaven to get a preview, that is not the rapture. The rapture is in chapter 7 of Revelation, when he seals the 144,000 to go through the wrath of God and not be killed. He takes the church out at the same time. And they're seen in heaven, not one apostle, but the whole church. And they're singing salvation, meaning final salvation. We've received our final salvation. What a glorious time that's going to be. I'm looking forward to final salvation. Don't let anybody rob you of that hope. And so people that have this view, they say, well, the church isn't after chapter 2 and 3. Well, what they fail to understand is chapter 2 and 3 trace the churches right up till the second coming of Jesus. And the second coming of Jesus is something where not only is the church blessed and caught up and saved out of this world, as in chapter 7, but God judges the people in the churches as well as in the world who are not saved right immediately in the day of the Lord. So the churches of chapter 2 and 3 go all the way up from the time of John's writing all the way up to, you see, the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is inside the final 7 years called the 70th week of Daniel. And so the church is here in the midst of the 70th week. It's there. And so they have that all wrong. And it is sad that they have that wrong, and they deceive a lot of people. So my point is tonight that these churches that we're studying now are here into chapter 7 of the Revelation, which is after the Great Tribulation, which has been cut short by cosmic darkening. That's in chapter 6. So you have the Great Tribulation, which is the fifth seal that is around the scroll of the wrath of God. And then the sixth seal, which when it's broken is cosmic darkening and a great earthquake that will trigger tsunamis. And all of that is for the church to be here. And then before the seventh seal, which is broken in chapter 8, and the wrath of God upon this Christ-rejecting world and the hypocritical church world begins to be poured out in chapter 8. And so these things give clear evidence that the churches of Revelation 2 and 3 that we're preaching on now will go into the last 7 years called Daniel's 70th week and will confront the beast, the world leader, and his Antichrist. And then the saved will be raptured out right after the cosmic darkening and the great earthquake, which follows the Great Tribulation and actually cuts it short, as it says in Matthew 24. It's all there. And further, we've been studying these churches in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation that will be here for this post-tribulational and pre-wrath public rapture at the very public second coming of Christ. And so we've been taking a closer look at these churches that were literal churches in John's day, that will be literal churches in the last 7 years and up till the rapture, but have also been churches that are representative of different types of churches right up from the Pentecost all the way up till the rapture in successive time periods, where the first church is Ephesus, the apostolic church is most predominant or most numerous, and then the second church, which is Smyrna, is most numerous, and so forth and so on. And so last week we looked at this, and really what I want to say tonight by way of introduction, in doing this study, it should be explained that we may be able, and I know Bob Van Kampen reduces it down to just, I believe, three churches. I want to reduce it down to four churches that kind of can be representative. And you say, of the last 7 years, you say, well, why is that? Well, let me explain it to you, what I'm saying here about that. The Pergamon and Thyatira type churches are churches that are, they're churches that are marrying the world. And they are in history and in the present time typified by the Catholic type churches. And we talked about that last week. Both Pergamum and Thyatira cover the Catholic period of church history from 300 to 600, then 600 to the early 1500s, just before the Protestant Reformation began to push that back, and now you had the Protestant churches. But we talked about that, and here's what we said. The majority of the members of these type of churches, according to Revelation 2:23, will not suffer the pains of the great tribulation of the beast and of Satan. And I wonder if one of the men will tell me why, for the most part, that those churches of the Catholic type churches will not suffer the pains of the great tribulation, Bobby.
Because they'll be part of the devil's team at that time with his mark.
That's right. They'll be good Catholics. They'll be good church members. They will go to church. They will bow to Mary. They will genuflect to the saints and do all the good things that a good Catholic does. But at the same time, during the great tribulation, they will do something that will really make it easy for them. And what will they do that'll make it easy for them in the great tribulation?
Take the mark.
Simply take the mark. There'll be many, let me say this again, there'll be many good church members of different kinds of churches, Jesse, that will take the mark. They'll take the mark. I want to talk about guns right now. And I want to say, focus on the main thing. They'll take the mark. And that'll make it easy. While other people have to trust God for food during that time. While other people have to trust God to protect their lives during that time. They will simply have it easy. And they will get all the benefits of health, of food, medical care. And do you think a lot of church members will take that? You better believe it. I was shocked how many people just ran and got that jab. That wasn't even the mark. I'm just saying to you, wake up, people. Wake up and smell. I got to get off this. Wake up and smell the coffee. And so you're going to have that very thing happen. Now, I want to say something, why I break it down to four churches. I believe all seven types of churches will go into the 70th week. All of them will go in, those seven different types. You know, they represent all the different churches. What will be the most predominant church to go in?
Laodicea.
I didn't want to walk far, so. Laodicea. That is the most predominant type of church right now, from about 1900 on. Now, in 1900, there were a lot more Philadelphia churches. So it almost, you didn't notice it was Laodicea. But it was Laodicea, and it's been growing and growing and building. And by the way, Laodicea will be the church that'll be the most gullible. They'll go for the signs and the wonders of the false wonders that are coming too. But what about some of these other churches? Look at the Ephesian church, which is pretty much a fundamental type church, but it left its first love. And God says, go back to the first works. What are the first works? The first works, you have to stay in contact with the Lord. Because everything you need is from the Lord. I get a kick sometime out of my mother. And she always brings up stuff to me. And I always tell her, Mother, don't worry about that. You live one day at a time. One day at a time. You don't have to worry about that. I'll do the worrying for you even. and you know what? That is something that Jesus said to the Ephesian church. You have forgot where you were, and you have departed from the first works. What are the first works? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. That's so simple, isn't it? This thing is, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So walk ye in him, rooted and grounded and built up in him, overflowing with thanksgiving. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit if you're filled with fear. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit if you're filled with complaining and complaining and complaining. That is not a spirit-filled Christian. That is a carnal type Christian.
Right.
Amen. And we need more Holy Ghost type Christians, and that was the problem with the Ephesian church. They were enduring, they were persevering, they had doctrine right, they had church discipline right, they had it all right as far as their beliefs. They were against the hierarchy of popes and all of that, the Nicolaitans, they stuck with it, but somewhere they lost vital contact with Jesus, and they lost their joy and their love. Faith works by love. The Lord flows through you. Those are the first works. Faith that works by love. Galatians 5. How are you with that? And you say, well, how does that relate to the second coming and church members and churches at the second coming? Because the Ephesian church won't be here anymore at the second coming. You say, why not? It's very clear. The Bible says, I'm going to come and take your candlestick. Not at the second coming. It can't be, because he's not taking their candlestick at the second coming. That would be a commendation, like I'll rapture you. No, that's not what he's saying. It's a criticism. I'll take your candlestick. That means I'll take this kind of church out of here. You won't be in existence. And then I'm saying to you, I believe that type of church will enter into the 70th week. But when you start going through plandemics, you know, we just saw one, and I don't like it. Can you? Bill Gates is already talking about the next one, that devil. He's already talking about the next one because they're planning it. And we know the beginning of sorrows are birth pangs. I think about walking around the mall. You don't have to worry about face masks. Don't have to worry about... I'm like, yeah, but oh, it's coming again. Because of these devils. Literally, devils. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. And so, the Ephesian church, your dedicated energy of your own strength can only get you so far, and then you'll fail. You've got to have fresh manna every day. And that's why they're going to fail. Because if you can't keep up with the footmen, Ephesians, you're not going to gallop with the horsemen. That's why this whole thing has been a test. You're not going to gallop with the horsemen. And so that's the Ephesian type church. You say, what about the Smyrna type church? I'm going to eliminate that one too. You say, how? They're all going to die. You say, why? In the Great Tribulation. They're going to die. You say, well, does that mean they missed the rapture? Oh, no. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The Presbyterians can take heart. No, I'm just kidding. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll rise first. And so, you see, the Smyrna church and the Ephesian church will enter into the 70th week, but not really be intact up till the second coming of Christ. Now, you could take the Pergamon church and the Thyatiran church and put that together. That's your Catholic-type church. So that's one there. And then, that will see the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then you have your Sardis church, which is the Protestant-type churches. That's two. And then you have Philadelphia, which is your soul-winning, on-fire churches that are faithful to the Word. That's three. And then you have your Laodicean. That's four. And these will make it all the way to the second coming of Christ. And the title of this series is Church Members at Christ's Coming, or Parousia, His Second Coming. And that's what we're looking at here. So I wanted to give you that because we're looking at the Catholic churches, the Protestant churches. We're looking at thirdly, the soul-winning and scriptural churches that stand on the Word of God and are on fire for the Lord and reaching out. And then the last one, your wishy-washy, last-day Laodicea-type churches that are going to be predominant. And so that's what we wanted to say by way of introduction here tonight. Now, so what about the true believers in these compromising and uncompromising churches that have left their first love? So what about these believers? God says to the true believers, for instance, in the church at Thyatira, that when the great tribulation of Satan comes upon the world, they must do the Lord's will at that time and pay the price. Those people in that kind of church, like a Catholic church, if they keep going to that church, what is going to happen to them from their church members? From the people they know, from the people that they're close to, what are they going to do to them? Well, I'll read it to you. It's in Matthew 24. The Lord says, and then many shall be offended. Have you ever had people get offended by your speech? Do you ever see people get offended by your speech? Is that happening more and more? And many shall be offended. Why? Because we're living in a Laodicea, wishy-washy, you can't stand for anything era. And therefore, if you speak up for the Word of God and you speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to be offended. And if you're in a church like the Catholic type church and you speak up, you're going to have your friends and family hear it. They're going to call the authorities and get you arrested. And you'll wind up being killed because they're not going to play games. And so, you see, there's a decision to be made at that point in time, and you have to make the decision. And it says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another. Who was it that betrayed Jesus? Judas. He knew where he'd be. He knew where to get him arrested. And that's what's going to happen. Jesus said your family members will betray you. He's talking of the Great Tribulation. Judas was betrayed. He betrayed, Jesus. And they arrested him. Jesus was ready for it. He knew all about it. And you should know all about it. But that's what happens. And so those people in those churches are going to have to make a decision. And if they were wise, they'd get out of those churches. Now, still he promises graciously, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So there'll be people even out of these churches that will stay with it during the great tribulation and not take the mark, and God, I believe, will still reward them. Because he's gracious. He's gracious. What a blessing that will be. And so we are now primarily looking at the remaining Catholic-type churches, the compromising Catholic types, the dead Protestant types, the faithful soul-winning types, and the liberal last days Laodicean types. These are the four basic types that will be here right when Christ comes back and will be caught up. Now, there'll be people from the Thyatiran churches that will be here. I'm just saying that they'll be here. But they'll be here from the Smyrna-type churches for a while, but they're going to be killed off. They're going to be killed off. Now listen to me. There will be some people that God will preserve during the great tribulation. He will preserve you alive. And you will remain because God has ordained that. There'll be other people like the Smyrna church. They're right with God. They're walking with God. And God will get them ready, and they'll be ready to sacrifice their life like Paul did. Like all the apostles except John did. And he would have had God not spared him supernaturally. I believe that's what it'll be. It'll be like a supernatural sparing of people. And so this is very important that we understand that. So we've talked about church members at the second coming, and we said the compromised Catholic types will be slain by the sword of the Lord when Christ comes. It'll go out of his mouth, and he will slay them by the sword of his mouth and by the power of his judgments during the 70th week. And the day of the Lord when the trumpet judgments are poured out. And then there'll be those in those compromising Catholic churches that will be squashed and squeezed when Christ comes back. And we said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, that God says, you had it easy during the great tribulation of Satan. You weren't squeezed because you still went to church and you took the mark and you had plenty of food and clothing and house and everything was nice for you. You didn't have any trouble during that time. And so now God says, you're going to be squeezed by me. And he calls that his giving them tribulation, which is giving them the day of the Lord wrath. And they'll have nowhere to go. And so now they're going to pay that price, you see, that they salvation's a free gift, right? But is it a free ride?
No.
It cost you nothing to receive Christ. It cost him everything. But it will cost you to follow Christ once you're saved. It will cost you. There is a cost of discipleship. A guy wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he lived under Hitler's Germany. And because of what he said and how he spoke up, he was arrested and killed. By the way, Satan has ruled this world ever since Adam gave it up. And he's been fighting God for it. And he knows there's a showdown coming and one is going to stand up. And people say, well, doesn't Satan know he's defeated? I don't believe so. I think Satan believes that he and God both evolved out of primordial soup. And that Satan thinks that he is going to win. And he keeps on fighting with the idea, I'm going to turn this around, because he believes in his own evolution. He believes his own lie. Ye shall be as gods. Isn't that the first thing he did? I'll be higher than God. He still believes that lie. It's a lie. But he believes it. And he tries to get his disciples to believe it. And so we are in a unique time right now. And so we talked about the Catholic-type churches that will be slain and squeezed by the second coming and by the judgment. And secondly, tonight, I want to just share church members in dead Protestant-type churches will be surprised. I'm not going to finish this tonight, but I don't think, but I'm going to start it. Church members in dead Protestant-type churches will be surprised. Look at Revelation 3:3. He says there, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know, thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Now, we studied this in Sunday school. Sardis was built on a hill. And for three sides of the four sides, you couldn't invade Sardis. The hill would make it impossible. But there was one side you could get up the hill and invade it. And if watchmen were there, and they had watchmen there, and they stayed awake, that one side would be defended against the invasion, and they would be able to warn the people. But two times in the history of Sardis, they did not watch. The watchmen went to sleep. The city was invaded, and the city was overrun. Sardis. And so he's using that, and he's talking about this kind of a church, and he's saying in verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And if you won't watch, I'm going to come on you as a thief." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, "I'm going to come upon you as a thief." Hey, go out the back door, Elijah. Go out the back door. "I'm going to come upon you as a thief." Why? Because you have pastors that are not watching. You have people that are not watching for the second coming of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you think there's going to be a rapture any moment, we're just going to be caught out of here, why watch? It's just going to happen. But no, there are things that you need to know and to understand and to watch for. And that's why Jesus taught what he taught in Matthew 24 in the other Gospels about the signs of his coming. So you would watch and prepare and know, not the day or the hour, but you'd know the season. You'd get ready for it. And these Protestant churches, he's saying in verse 3 of Revelation 3, "Remember how your great leaders that started this Reformation, how they rebelled against the Catholic Church. And what was the main thing that they said was the basis of the Protestant Reformation that these people need to remember?" And it was the main thing that was the basis of the Protestant Reformation, the foundation. And what was it? Anybody want to hazard it? All right, Brother Eric.
Justification by faith?
Yes, but I want to go more deep than that. What was the, and it relates to what I'm going to say about Protestant churches. What is the main thing, the foundation of the Protestant Reformation when they went up against, originally, the Catholic Church? What did they use to hammer the Catholic Church?
Sola Scriptura.
Our basis for faith and practice is the Bible. And they then saw in the Bible what he just said, justification is through faith alone and not through faith plus works. It's through faith alone. That's how it started. And what he's saying in verse 3, and I'll go back there again, he's saying in verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received," sola scriptura, "and heard, and hold fast, And repent. Repent of what? They've gotten away from sola scriptura. Now they rely on the creeds of the church. Now they rely on the Catholic tradition that they took with them out of the Catholic Church when they came out and protested against it. He said, if you would have stayed with the scripture and you would have kept going with the scripture, then you would have understood about the second coming and you could have watched for the second coming. You say, how do you know this? Because I was brought up in such a church. My grandpa, Bloom, Henry Bloom, he left the Christian Reformed Church to go to the Protestant Reformed Church because Henry Hoeksema was the pastor there. Do you know what the issue was that my grandfather, who came from Holland, fought against in the Christian Reformed Church and went to the Protestant Reformed Church? Do you know what it was?
I believe, sir, that he fought for the King James Bible.
You got it. He fought for the King James Bible. And my Christian Reformed Church at that time had an American Standard Bible, American Standard, which is based on the new translations and the corrupt text. He took a right stand. And I remember when I was saved, I started getting into prophecy. And my grandfather could see it. He wanted to bring me to his preacher, this King James preacher in the Protestant Reformed Church, who was a great man called Henry Hoeksema. And I went to a prophecy conference. And I remember those people in there, and they did not have a clue. They did not have a clue, Andy, about the second coming of Jesus Christ, about the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. They were ignorant of the times and seasons. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. He said, you're ignorant. He said, you're not ignorant of the times and seasons. In other words, these people, they were ignorant of that. They did not understand that. And that was not enough for me. I said, I can't continue in the Christian Reformed Church. I cannot continue even going to a Protestant Reform. I want the truth. And there was a guy named M.R. DeHaan that came out of the Reformed Church. How many have heard of M.R. DeHaan? He was a Dutch background. He was a physician. He had a gravelly voice like this and used to teach on the radio back in the 50s and 60s. And he was somebody that believed in the millennium, and that Christ would come back before the thousand years and literally reign over the earth for 1,000 years. And my church background people, they didn't understand that. And so they don't understand these things. And so he is saying that when Christ comes back, you're going to be taken by surprise. And I think of what Paul said. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And you know what? It's amazing to me that Christians, even today, that we're not watching and seeing what's going on around us. And pastors are not warning people about it. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. COVID 19. What is it? Does anybody know? Raise your hand if you know, one of the men. What's COVID-19?
COVID-19 stands for certification of vaccination, and the letter, the numbers I-19 stands for artificial intelligence.
Oh, that's perfectly said. That guy got it perfect. Certification of vaccination, ID. They're IDing you by these jabs they're putting in you. And they're putting all kinds of genetic things in you to mess with your DNA. Because Satan hates human DNA. He wants to mess with it. And that's what certification of vaccination, ID. Do you know that in the flu shot, the man who invented the mRNA platform for the jab is a guy named Robert Malone. How many have heard of Robert Malone? Do you know that Robert Malone said, watch out, they're going to start putting that in flu shots now. Watch what you put in your body. And these people that run for flu shots because you're afraid, get your immune system built up. Build up your immune system. Don't depend on these people. They want to kill you. You say, where do you get that? Read your Bible. You had guys like Brother Morgan. He preached for years, world government. Now we're almost here. It's almost here, what he was preaching on. But you got to be able to recognize it when you see it. They looked for Jesus for thousands of years. When he actually came, did the Jewish people say, Jesus, you're it? You're... No, they didn't even recognize he was born in Bethlehem. They said he's a Nazarite. Oh, he was born in Bethlehem. He fulfilled all the prophecies. They didn't recognize it. People don't recognize when it's hitting them in the face. These people, they have bought the devil's lie, and they want to be gods. Satan said to Eve, ye shall be as gods. That's what these people are pushing right now. They want to be gods. You say, who are you talking about? Bill Gates, Fauci, Klaus Schwab, Harari, the Bilderberg Group. That old devil, Henry Kissinger.
Soros,
yes. They're pushing this. There are many others. They're the elites. They may experiment on the chattel, but they want to be as gods. So what's their goal? You say, well, what's their goal? What? Just get on Alex Jones. He'll tell you what's going on. Or he had a guy on there who went through the whole thing. Infowars.com. Just get on there. Get your news from there. What do they want to do? I'll tell you what they want to do. They want to download your intelligence from your brain onto their own technology that they have, like AI, artificial intelligence, robots, and they'll live forever. They want to live forever. They're already saying, do you know that Joe Biden put out an executive order that says you have anybody that claims any rights, any freedoms, any rights that stand in the way of our goal of artificial intelligence and of eternal life through artificial intelligence, they're not going to get their rights. They're not going to get their freedoms. He just came out with an executive order. I was just reading it from my daughter-in-law, Kristen. Her father's research, she sent it to me. Generation Z, these kids here, what they're facing? You say, man, this is too much. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. You just keep on keeping on and serving God. I appreciate it. I went over to the Super Bowl at Brother Bob Majeski's, and I wanted the Eagles to win for Philadelphia. And they didn't win, but Bob and I teamed up and we got something. We got the guy that's on the basketball team that Bobby's been working with, our church basketball team, which is a soul winning outreach. He and his wife were there and his child. And he was talking to me and he saw me cheering for the Eagles, you know, and screaming. He talked to me. He said, what about your Revelation Sunday school? I'd like my daughter to get in Revelation. And I said, absolutely, Brent. I said, come on. I said, she could get in. I said, every class is taught the Revelation. And I said, then, you know, you could go to adult level and get it at the adult level. And when your kids are there, you could discuss it with them more intelligently. And he was talking about, like, he's going to come. So pray for that. But I'm just saying to you that there's a blessing for understanding the revelation and understanding the different types of churches that are going to be here. And the Bible says that that day is going to come upon people as a thief in the night. Now, what do the pre-tribulationists say about that? Luke, what do they say is meant by the thief of the night?
That it could come whenever.
Yeah, it could come at any time, surprise you. We could be here in this service, and all of a sudden, he comes and boom, we're out of here. It's like a thief. It just, there's no warning. There's no warning. I had a song leader at the church I went to in Florida years ago, and he was leading singing, and he came in, his face was all moused up, he was all beat up, and he's like coming in like that, and he told the story. He said they were in their home in Florida, and they went to bed, and some crook had been in the house and was laying on the floor trying to not be noticed by them. He was just laying on the floor, and they got in bed, and somehow they saw him, and he got up and bopped him over the head, you know. It was like a total surprise. The guy was a thief, and he got in their house before night and then hid, and then they saw him, but just it was too late. He started bopping him right in the head. And that's the idea. It'll come on you as a thief in the night. But according to the Bible, will he come on believers as a thief in the night? Yes or no?
No, sir.
No. He said that day will not overtake you as a thief. He's talking to the Thessalonians who weren't ignorant. That day won't overtake you as a thief. You know, you're watching, you're ready. That day will overtake the unsaved as a thief. And sadly, Protestants who are mostly unsaved, just like Catholics, it'll come upon these people as a thief in the night. And what will come upon them? The wrath of God, as God begins to pour out his judgments. And it will be an amazing thing when it begins to hit this world, and they're going to be surprised. And so we're talking about when Christ comes back, people will not be ready in the churches. Why? Because of the fact it's just like Israel. They are ignorant and not watching. And we need to be sure that we're, listen to me, that we're witnessing to people. We're bringing them out to Sunday school. We're exposing them. And that we just stay with it. Do not try to go along with the world. Just let it out there. Just give it out there. Just be bold for Christ. And trust him. Because he's got a plan for you. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.